Awesome. Hey, listen, Bruce and Lori, we prayed for them last week. Remember that? Bruce went in for open heart surgery, like 5-pass surgery. Something like that. I was thinking of the word for it. But anyway, he did really well. And let me read this text from Lori. I just thought it was a blessing. God answered our prayers in a powerful way. The people at the church are so thoughtful with all their prayers for Bruce. Thank you. Last night they removed the breathing. This was, yesterday, 7 in the morning. Last night they removed the breathing tube. Nurse at ICU said he's doing better without the tube, taking sips of water. God is so awesome. He's done so much for Bruce, and it's unimaginable his love for us. Thank you so much for all your kindness. Kate and Angel helped us through before all this was going on. They are surely blessed in the Holy Spirit. And then I shared that we heard the good report. And then yesterday night, just within like 12 hours, thank you so much. He's off the ventilator and is in a room sooner than expected. All the staff is confused. But we tell them it's Jesus. That's awesome. So keep them in prayer. And Laura, do you have any update? Are we getting any meals together for Bruce and Lori? Is someone on that? Okay, that'd be great. So if any of you are interested, see Mary Donnelly right over there. And I think it'd be great if we get them some meals and take care of their family a bit here during the surgery. Also, is Andrew here? Okay. He has an awesome testimony you don't want to miss. Really good stuff. Last week we talked about Acts 1 and 2. We talked about God doesn't promise to answer all our questions and give us all the details, but he does promise to give his power. We must learn to trust that his power will be enough, more effective than our own reasoning, our human wisdom, our strategic plans. And I want to talk a little bit today about the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does, and challenge us to open our hearts and let this amazing agent, God himself, to move and do his work in our lives. So I want to look at a few scriptures here just to see, why did God give us the Holy Spirit? We read some last week that even in all the unconventionality of God, we're assured of his power. So Acts 9:31 says, So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and continued to be built up and to increase as it conducted itself in the fear of the Lord and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. When the fear of the Lord falls and people are encouraged in the Holy Spirit, the church grows. It's just a formula. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and you'll see growth all around your life. John 14, verse 1. I just want to look at John 14 is filled with a lot of insight about the Holy Spirit. Let's just read a little bit and glean off scripture here. Do not let your heart be troubled. This is a good word for all of us. So many situations we can receive this word. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, but Christ says also, but believe in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Then we go down to verse 16. He talks about him going away. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. So we know this. The Holy Spirit is faithful, and he stays with you and dwells inside you. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be with you. This is an amazing promise from God that in any place of life that you find yourself in any situation, the Holy Spirit will be with you. Come on. It says in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, Jesus says. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me. And I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. If you love the Lord, he'll begin to share his heart, his plans for your life, his plans for your family. It says in our scripture that he reveals his secrets to you. Secrets about, you know, you may have people you love in your heart and you pray for them and you wonder, Lord, what are you going to do for them? You know, will you get them out of this mess? And he'll whisper in your heart and say, listen, I'm going to tell you things that no one knows so that your heart will be at peace. I am God and I'm going to do this in this person's life. This is incredible stuff. And that is a CIA central. That is divine intel that is not flawed, not thwarted by human imperfection. It is something you can live for, the truth of God. Verse 25, these things, I'm just trying to glean a few of the things about the Holy Spirit here. These things I have spoken to you while I abided with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Now listen to this part, because I think it's really interesting. And bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So not only does the Holy Spirit, because, you know, people tend to get very independent, like, I don't need anybody else but the Holy Spirit. There's a partial truth to that, yes. Really, it's an all-encompassing truth, but there's a qualification that needs to be added. Yes, the Holy Spirit teaches you all things, but then he also reminds you of what others have said. And this is a key point, because we can't become Holy Spirit, me and Holy Spirit, nobody else in the world, isolated, separated. We're part of a living body. Not one piece of nose just hanging out somewhere, right? That'd be really weird. We're part of a body. God intends us to live as his body, all connected, interjoined, communicating. That's why parts are only good when they're all put together, right? A nose is no good without anything else. If you cut your finger off and it's alone, it doesn't do well. It has to be joined back, fused back into the body for it to flourish and be able to do things like a hand does. Right? Every part needs the sustenance of the other parts. This is how we function and flourish. And this is the same thing. The Helper, the Spirit, teaches us all things and brings to remembrance all that was said. Peace, I leave with you. My peace I give you, the Lord says. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. I'm telling you, if there's anything in this message, this is God's mandate to us today. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be fearful. Look to me. The Spirit says, I will give you power and strength to overcome. I love you. This is the heart of the Lord. I give you peace. Verse 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. Things which eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, which has entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. I mean, think about it. It's one thing for something to search our hearts. But for some agent, person, to search the depths of God? Woo! Infinite, unlimited greatness. And this Holy Spirit has searched every square inch of God and who he is and his heart and his knowledge, his will, his mind. I mean, we're talking about amazing, awesome, great. What it should do, when we focus on the greatness of God, it should cause fear to come upon our hearts. Fear, like wonder, awe. And then you know what fear does? Fear releases all kinds of heaven. It's just like a door that opens the gates of heaven. When we fear and rever and honor God because we realize how great he is, we become afraid, fearful, standing in awe and wonder. And he begins to come in and he begins to just intervene and move. And almost every instance where we read about the church growing in Acts, it's the fear of the Lord settled upon everybody. Because they were consumed with his greatness. And this greatness released heaven upon them, and the Holy Spirit moved, and people came to the Lord. This is what we want. I don't know about you, I'm hungering for the Spirit of God to break in and cast off darkness, cast off stronghold. We're not mere humans, folks. We aren't just susceptible to whatever happens in this natural world. We have a supernatural God that intervenes and does supernatural things right in our midst that are humanly impossible. You have a struggle, a challenge, something that you're facing. Let the living God in. Woo! And then everything changes. Things that you say, oh, it looks so impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. He's given us the Spirit as a helper to bring the supernatural into all of our lives. We just have to get this mind up here that can't conceive and can't see and can't understand. We need it bypassed by this, or enhanced, if you want to say, by this Holy Spirit that causes us to begin to think differently. This world isn't, remember last week I shared about like Jesus got, he just took the elevator to heaven, but there was no elevator. And he just went, because he operates by power. And everyone just gawked and, oh my gosh, did you just see that? A man floated up into the sky till we couldn't see him anymore. And an angel came and said, what are you staring at, men? He's going to come back down the same vehicle that he went up on. The same means, the power of God. Why are you so surprised? He's God. This is where, like, our mind is inconsistent. We realize, like, everybody, even someone on the street, oh, the guy upstairs. You know, the guy upstairs, you know, it's beyond my control. But yet, when God is God and does things superhuman, supernatural, we go, how? And in the scripture, you see all throughout scripture, there's all these questions. Everyone's always asking questions. How? When? What? Why? And he's like, don't worry about it. I'm with you. This gets really good. Listen to this. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's an unwinnable situation. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. You know, way back in college, you know, I used to have to take a train. Sometimes I flew, sometimes I drove my Subaru that had a rubber glove that enabled it to drive. It had a vacuum leak, and I know nothing about cars, but I was just, didn't have money to fix my first little car. And didn't really have much help, but my dad just said, go on out there, work in the back, you'll figure it out. And so I went back, and I didn't know anything to do. I mean, I just said, Holy Ghost, you got to help me. So I'm praying in the Spirit over the hood of my car, and I'm just like, Lord, you know about engines, I don't. And my finger got sucked into a part, and it went from this like, dog, 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 to like a, and I was like, oh, a miracle, Holy Ghost. He just fixed my car. So I said, huh, how do I keep my finger there while I'm driving? You know what? I'll just take a rubber glove and I'll put it there. So I put a rubber glove on and tied it up, and I drove that thing back and forth from here to Ohio so many times on that rubber. Now, sometimes the weather caused it to break apart. So I went to where else? My glove box, where I kept my spare set of gloves. And I'd take out a rubber glove and I'd put it over that part. And I drive back and forth to Ohio. It was wonderful. The Holy Ghost provided. You got to see this. I'm not exaggerating. I was just like, oh, Lord, oh, Lord God, please. Whoa. And then just stuck that rubber glove on, and it worked ever since. It was amazing. The Holy Ghost even fixes cars. I'm telling you. So anyway, one of the times I had to take a train, and I had just really started understanding, like from Scripture, the reality of the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. And then I read that Scripture about when you pray in tongues, when you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit prays through you and utters mysteries to God. We're going to read a Scripture in a second where it says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And I remember on this train having this thought be released. It was really the Holy Spirit. And I started praying in the Spirit, listening to myself, going, whoa, that is the Holy Spirit's voice. I mean, it was a revelation. You know when you get this aha, and you just realize, whoa, he loves me. Oh, and we just start crying because we're aware of his love. We're just like, this is crazy. God loves me. Well, this is a revelation where I said, that is the Holy Spirit praying through me. It was that Romans verse. And so literally all night long on this train, I stayed up praying in tongues, listening to the Holy Spirit praying. And I can't tell you how charged I was, how fascinated. I mean, you know, it's revelation. It takes an aha. You know, it's when God reveals something to you, like his love, and you just break down and say, I don't even know why I'm crying. He just loves me. And you're just like losing it, just losing composure. Well, I had this revelation of God, the Holy Spirit in me, praying through me. And all night, I just was praying in tongues, listening to him. I was like, this is fascinating. I was so fascinated. You're going to laugh, but I literally recorded myself praying in the Spirit for like an hour. And then I played it while I did my engineering homework. And I would just listen to the Holy Spirit praying, and I'd be just writing papers or doing math problems, because I got this revelation, the Holy Spirit lives in me, and he's real, and he's praying for me. This Scripture just came alive, and so I just From that point, I look back at that point so many times as the time when I realized the Holy Spirit was alive and he was living in me and he was praying. Fascinating. I can't tell you how amazed I was. So amazing. But he's in you. He lives and dwells in you. He's your helper, your comforter, your teacher, your friend, your strengthener. Every situation. Your brother can't be with you all the time. I can't be with you all the time. Your best friend, your spouse, they can't be with you all the time. But the Holy Ghost is with you all the time. Every second. He knows you every square inch. He knows all your good stuff, all your bad stuff, and still loves you. When you think no one's watching, Holy Ghost is right there. With you. Lord, make this a reality. I just pray right now, just stop and pray that you would make yourself real to us. That we would start believing the truth, that we'd start believing that your Spirit dwells in us, that you are with us, Holy Spirit, every second of every day. I pray that an awareness, a tangible presence. I thank you, you're with us all the time, but I pray that it would be tangible. An increase of the tangibility of the Holy Spirit that we would sense and know. We'd be awakened to that. That we'd begin to become confident and aware and thankful. And full of faith that you are there walking with us. Where were we here? We were in verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Some of you need to just like pray this over yourself in agreement. Like last night, my body, my joints, my bones ache. Not in a good way, like not ache for the Lord. Like I'm saying physically, naturally. Like when I walk downstairs, my like ankles and knees and stuff pop. You hear them. Like I'm like, oh. So then you try to walk like this and then you're like, I'm way too old to be walking sideways downstairs. I'm not going to do it. And so then I just like, Josiah tells me to stretch. I'm going to stretch as I walk down the stairs. But last night, I was just so impressed. I just laid my hands on my body and I said, Lord, touch this frame, this body of mine. Lord, I need you to heal it. I form new cartilage, form new sinews, new tendons, all of that. I need your creative power. Touch this body. Pray, invite the Holy Spirit, agree, let him. He's able to create a knee like this. He's able to touch an ache like this. I mean, really, he is God. Why wouldn't you pray and invite him to come and change you? Sometimes he might not fix your car because he's like, okay, I'm going to teach him a little bit about perseverance. He's going to have to believe the Lord, I'll provide the funds, and then he'll have to drive it to the mechanic and have the mechanic fix it. God's God. And he does things and walks with you through life to strengthen you and equip you. So it's not just you pray and boom, everything's set just because you pray. There's a process, there's a purpose of God's work by the Spirit in your life. We just have to constantly trust him and invite him. Invite him, invite him, invite him. Some of you have never invited the Holy Spirit into your house. I once knew somebody who, they were looking for a bunch of houses and they had their heart set on this house. They found the perfect place. I mean, exactly what they needed, an answer to prayer. And as they were walking through the house one day, they heard about a past trauma that happened in the house. I think someone died or something like that. And ever since then, there's been strange phenomena happening in the house, like spiritual stuff. And you know what they did the minute they heard that? They canceled the whole sale. Done. I'm done. We're done. And they had to settle for something that didn't meet hardly any of their needs. Like, it met only part of their needs. And I was like, you know, the whole time I was praying with them and everything like that, but they shut down. And I'm telling you, folks, all you have to do in a situation like that is you go in that house and you invite the Holy Spirit to come in and you say, everything that's dark and of Satan and evil, you go, this is now a tabernacle of my God. And then the presence of God comes and washes it all clean, and he dwells with you, in you, around you. This is real stuff. Our first house was just crazy. It was in Lynn, the city of him, in Mass, and that was our confession. Lynn, the city of him. Hallelujah. And so anyway, we had this house, and when we bought it, it was just an absolute dump and very strange. There were locks inside of closets to keep people out of the closet. Strange stuff. And it was just a really strange place. And like, you'd walk on the property and just feel like, ooh, like your hair would stand up, that kind of thing, like fear and things like that. And I remember we had the youth group over, and we were like, you know, trying to get it ready. It's like, well, I didn't know anything about construction. I told my wife, don't worry, it'll be all ready for when the baby comes. And, well, wasn't ready for like 10 years. But I made sure that, like, after we stripped up the tile and there was all this, like, adhesive glue, I just bought cheap carpets that I think Building 19 when it was around, and I just adhered them to the floor. And I said, well, this'll do for when the baby comes home. So she walked in, and there's like carpets just stuck to all this adhesive. You couldn't walk off the carpet because you'd be like, oh. You couldn't get your feet off the ground because they'd stick. I mean, gosh, Steve was there, I think, weren't you? You helped me a lot. Painted, maybe not during that part, not during the adhesive. Anyway, we'd have to sit on trash can lids to get it off because otherwise our butt would stick to the ground and we couldn't. So we'd sit on little trash can lids and sit there and like chisel them off. But I remember that place, that first night when the youth group came over to help me, we all joined around and we prayed and we dedicated the house. I mean, it was weird. You know, you would never want to be alone there. You'd feel really full of fear. We prayed in that circle, and we said, we renounce everything of the past that had to do with this house, every past ownership, authority, right. We joined hands in a circle, and we prayed for the Holy Spirit to flood the place, for angelic beings to be posted at every corner, and for God to use this place. And I said, I now own it, and I am dedicating this house to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, something supernatural happened. And never once again did I ever feel fear. Anything strange happened. The house was clean, full of peace, full of power. Some of you have never invited the Lord. I use these examples because they're tangible, they're physical, they make sense. But some of you have never done this in your lives. You haven't invited the Holy Spirit in. You haven't like said, Lord, abide in this house. We dedicate this house where we dwell to you, that your presence will be here, that it would move, that you'd release dreams and visions like you did to the servants in the Bible, that you'd speak to us, that we'd sense your presence. I'm encouraging you, invite the Holy Spirit in. Just want to finish just a couple things here. For if you're led by the Spirit, you're a son of God. For you've not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons. We cry out, Abba, Daddy God. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. It says in our scripture, he sealed your heart for redemption. Oh, thank you, Lord. A seal that no one can break. The living God. Romans 8:26. This is what I was talking about earlier. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. For he searches the hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And prayers that are in alignment with the will of God prevail. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. The Holy Spirit's the power of God. He's been given to encourage, comfort, teach, help, remind us of what people say about the word, lead us, grant life and peace, seal and testify, intercede for us. The Holy Spirit will keep your day filled with life and salvation. He'll keep your life. He'll keep, you know, we prayed for life group leaders. He promises to keep the life groups full of life and salvation. Will you believe? Will you open up to him and let him, the Holy Spirit, do his job? You know, I just want, some of you are stubborn. I should say some of us are stubborn because it's one of my liabilities. It was even more and more and more and more. He's chopped me away. Just whittled. Whittled. Ouch, ouch, whittled. Some of you are stubborn trying to do it your way, whether it's sin or your willful stubbornness to do something that you just, lots of people tell you is wrong. And the enemy steals from you because of it. Some of you have lost your first love. You figured out, instead of letting God be God, as unconventional as he is and can be, you still try to control. You know, some of you are holding on to religion. It's that framework of approaching God. But in doing so, you lose the intimacy and you lose life. You lose truth from the word because of your own preference. Some of you have not even received the good news of Jesus, allowing the Spirit to come in you and dwell in you. Well, this is an awesome day. We can invite the Holy Spirit in, and he's more than willing to come. So come on, let's respond, and we just pray. Holy Spirit, come in our hearts and our minds and our lives. We repent. We change the way we think. We lay down our will before you. And we say audibly, Holy Spirit, come inside my heart. Testify of Jesus Christ, for he is my Lord and Savior. And I want you to just come and occupy and possess and abide in this heart, in my family, in my household, in my church. Come. Come on, respond to him. Ask him, invite him in. The Holy Spirit, the helper, the transformer. Come.